The sign will go here, beside the Tuckasegee River in tiny Dillsboro, about 50 miles west of Asheville. The river is tame today, its water warming in the spring sun as fly fishermen wade and cast. But on December 30th, 1882, it was frigid. The water high from bad weather and snow was on the banks. That morning, a group of black convict laborers climbed onto a flat-bottomed boat to go from their camp across the river to the railroad tunnel they were hacking through a mountain.
And the practice was to prevent them from running away. They would chain them all together.
David Walton, an assistant professor of history and director of global black studies at Western Carolina University, sitting just above the river.
Something startled the convicts, and they started panicking.
They shifted in mass, and their weight capsized the boat. 19 were dragged to the bottom of the river and drowned. Days later, their bodies were buried in unmarked graves, believed to be a short walk from where Walton was sitting. The new historical sign is part of a growing effort in western North Carolina to give the men some measure of their identities back and to underline a system that essentially extended slavery for decades after the Civil War. Incarcerated laborers will be the title at the top of the sign.
It was a labor crisis after the Civil War, and they used convict leasing as a way to address that labor crisis.
The states of the former Confederacy ginned up laws to boost the number of prisoners.
We had laws commonly referred to as the Black Codes, where they essentially criminalized black people, so they would be arrested and sentenced to hard labor for things like shooting dice in public, smoking cigarettes in public, being outside past dark, being unemployed.
Once convicted, the prisoners could be leased out, as the 19 who drowned were, to the Western North Carolina Railroad. Others were used by plantations, mines, just about any employer that needed cheap labor. Records are sparse, but more than 150 workers are known to have died while working on the Western North Carolina Railroad, and maybe a lot more. Some from accidents, some from illness, some shot while trying to escape.
Some of these individuals are being charged with simple larceny and basically given a death sentence.
Danielle Duffy is guest curator of an exhibit on the Cowie Tunnel disaster. It opens Monday at Western Carolina University's Mountain Heritage Center. Duffy dug through newly opened prison records and other sources. She says a central goal was to emphasize the victims' humanity.
It was taking this local story and trying to make those 19 men place their names, make them individuals.
So their brief biographies will be at the beginning of the exhibit. Those will note that all of those killed weren't men. One was a 15-year-old boy.
Chaz Eason. He was from Martin County. He was 5'2" and weighed 112 pounds when he was arrested for simple larceny.
The prison records concentrate on their physical characteristics, since the state was keenly interested in being able to recapture them if they escaped. But in some cases, she was able to flesh out more of their lives with things like census and marriage records.
We have Alex Adams, who was from Washington County. He was convicted and sentenced for the same simple larceny as his father and his brother.
And all three were sent to the prison labor camp at the tunnel. Alex's father, Gilbert, was apparently a respected member of the Lee's Mill community in Washington County. Duffy found him listed as a witness for several marriages, and there was some suggestion he fought for the Union. And all three were registered to vote, taking advantage of that relatively new right. Duffy wonders about the scene when Alex drowned.
And what that day must have been like for Gilbert and Warren, Alex's brother. Were they there? Were they on the boat? You know, they are wrapped in this brutal, terrible system, and now they've just had to watch the loss of their loved one.
An archaeologist is planning to excavate the site of the camp where the prisoners lived, but Lauren Berg, the Heritage Center's collection manager, says little physical evidence of the convicts' existence remains, except for the 800-foot tunnel itself.
One of the big problems with trying to develop an exhibit was that this was period of time and an event that people didn't particularly want to remember it at the time. And so there really wasn't anything saved, there wasn't anything documented. We don't have a single photograph of the site. one was working.
So instead of leaning on artifacts, the exhibit will try to convey a sense of the workers' lives by putting visitors in dioramas.
People can kind of step into the experience that these individuals had, their day-to-day life, like what their living situation was like, and then we also have one that's going to be based on their work site.
The Jackson County NAACP chapter applied for the state sign. A chapter founder, Enrique Gomez, said he hopes it will begin a broader effort to recognize the role of convict laborers and diversity in the state's mountain history.
Us being able to tell this complex quilt of relationships and seeing how they interact can actually help inform and shape the narratives of Appalachia, and also point towards direction in which we can come together as communities.
Many of the tunnel laborers actually came from counties in the east. Since the Heritage Center exhibit is designed to travel, the staff hopes to bring it to some of those communities, places that lost men to the frigid river and to that system that prolonged slavery. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.